Hey, this is Kelly Thompson, writer of IDW's Gem in the Holograms, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Gem here, and I've jumped inside the pullback to discover the stories in my own comic, Gem in the Holograms, from IDW Publishing. Listen in as Mike, Amy, and Nicole give their thoughts on the latest issue, who are all going to have a truly outrageous time inside the pullback.
Hello and welcome to The Pullback. This is episode 340. That's right, folks, 340 episodes. We're just a week shy of our sixth year anniversary of the show. I am, of course, TFG1 Mike. Joining me is my truly outrageous misfit, one of them anyway, Amy, a.k.a. Lady Rec. Hello.
Hello. Woohoo!
And in case you didn't realize,
six years. Woohoo!
Does anybody actually listen to this show?
I'm sure they do. Yeah. There are fans out there.
So yes, we are going back to Gem and the Holograms finally after so long. Our other misfit is dealing with some life stuff, so Nicole is out there, you know, kicking ass and taking names just like Roxy would.
Yep.
without the bagels, hopefully, because bagels.
No, with the bagels.
English sure muffins are better.
I'm sure at times she has her bagel.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like, you know, eat your cake and your bagel too.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So we are here, two trades, one podcast, like what we've been doing a few times. Ryan and I did this with Transformers with More Than Meets the Eye and Robots in Disguise, where we would do, like, you know, two trades in one show kind of thing.
Yep.
Gem and the Holograms, I don't know what IDW has planned for them in the future. I do know that there was Infinite, this massive crossover thing between Gem and the Holograms and the Misfits. And then there's Dimensions, which is like five or six one-shot stories. So those are the two trades, Gem of the Holograms, Infinite, and Gem of the Holograms, Dimensions, that we'll be talking about tonight. It seems like the truly outrageousness at IDW has kind of diminished a little bit since the big flop of the movie and everything else. And that was, God, that was years ago now.
Yeah, I was gonna say the movie. I'd say the movie flopped before the comic kept going for quite a while.
Yeah,
so
yeah, and the comic is awesome. Kelly and all the artists and everybody else, all the other writers that wrote, you know, special stories or whatever. But Kelly Thompson, main writer, absolutely amazing. We love talking to her when we talk to her. So I just don't know what else could be coming, because there's these two things, and then IDW just announced to celebrate their 20th anniversary online, you know, being a company this year, the IDW 2020 series, which it's like, I think, six one-shots: Ghostbusters, My Little Pony, Gem, Turtles, and I think there's another one, but I don't remember it off the top of my head. So there is another Gem story at some point, but it's
Star
just
Trek.
Star Trek, that's what it was, duh.
Star Trek, yep.
You know, so that'll be covered in an episode at some point. I don't know when. But we wanted to return to Gem and the Holograms to, you know, get this covered, because we never actually ever did it. So
yeah,
we're going to start with Gem and the Holograms Infinite, written by Kelly Thompson. Artists are Stacy Lee on part one. Parts 1, 3, and 5 is also Jen Hickman. Parts 2, 4, and 6 is Jen St. Ange, or Ange, I think. I asked her one time how she pronounces it, and I think it's St. Ange, but it's okay. Lyric letters are done by Sarah Stern, Jen Hickman, and M. Victoria Robideau. Colorists, Sarah Stern and Victoria Robideau, and Brittany Peer. Letters by Sean Lee. Series editor, Sarah Gatos. Yeah, this is the big crossover event thing. And this feels like, the way Kelly wrote this and the way that the story progresses, it really feels like that Hawaii episode that we all love of the old cartoon series.
Yeah, it does. I agree. That's true. Which we've already done a little bit of the luau, and yeah, I think it was, what, issue 25, 26, something like that.
Yep.
We're misfits.
So it's good. I liked this episode. I liked these issues. Infinite, for me, was definitely the between Infinite and Dimensions, I liked Infinite much better. Or to coin a phrase, infinitely better.
Yes. Once it's been a while since I've read Kelly's gem writing, and I want to follow her on other stuff that she's done. I just haven't had time. But yeah. I love how this is set up, where it opens with Jem and Pizzazz yelling at each other back and forth, and then it has the two bands yelling back and forth, and then you break out into two pages of being introduced in, you know, to the characters and with what Jem is saying, and all the little funny things, character bits for each of the characters. Same thing on Pizzazz and the Misfits side. Absolutely love that.
It was good.
Yeah. I love seeing all the musical aspects after the band face off kind of thing there.
Yeah.
I think that is really, really well done. This story, I knew what it was going to be, but I didn't know what it was going to be.
And I mean, they teased it, but they didn't like completely reveal it.
Right.
So that
was
good.
Yeah. Obviously Jem, Jerrica, and Rio, the love triangle there is having, issues still, but, you know, it's just one of those things where reminding, I guess if you hadn't seen this or if you hadn't read kind of a thing, it still continues from the series, and that's the point of it. It's still part of the Jem and the Holograms IDW comic series.
Yeah.
You know, you've got everybody on the buses and everything else in this first part. What I mean about, when I said it kind of reminds me of, what was it, Hot Time in Hawaii, or whatever that episode was called from the original cartoon series. It's just the arguing and the bickering constantly between Jem and Jem / Jerrica and Pizzazz. That's really what I mean, because sometimes Pizzazz just can't let stuff go.
Yep. That's true. And I like that they carried that over from her character. She's very loyal, but she can't let go of a few things. So I'm all right with that. I like my characters to have, you know, little flaws and things like that. And they've been really great about making sure the characters have that. Mm-hmm. And it makes them much more, I think, more realistic in the comic than the TV animation show ever was. So, I mean, I was never a fan of Pizzazz until I read the comic, and then I'm like, I really like Pizzazz. She's great.
Yeah, she's great. Like, in the comic series' run, we had so much character development and depth to Pizzazz, which, you know, actually makes her more of a character that you want to enjoy than one that you don't.
Yeah.
So the bands are still fighting with each other back and forth, except for obviously Kimber and Stormer, because they're in love.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, everybody and their smartphone, click, flash, you know, everybody's taking pictures, and I love the exchange between Jem and Pizzazz. Another time, Jem. Yeah, I'm sure that considering you can't let it go, and Pizzazz is like, and I'm like, please don't turn this into Frozen. Please don't turn this into a Jem Frozen thing. I'll say this later, but I'm just going to preface this when we get to that part in the story, folks. I don't know what Kelly was... I understand why the story is the way it is, but with the current timeline that we are in real life in 2019... separating people out from the inner city and the outer city and the wall and the this and the that. I was just waiting for Eric Raymond to come in with a Trump comb over. I don't want to get political on this podcast, but I'm sorry. As I was reading through this story later on with events that happened, I'm like, a giant wall basically dividing the... I'm like, oh boy. And I know
I had a completely different take with it, because I've read The Hunger Games and, you know, all of that. I kind of took it as that, because, like, all of the people that are inside the wall, of course, have hologram technology. Mm-hmm. And that kind of, that the ooh shiny, they look pretty, they have all the prettiness and the glamour. And so I kind of remember, that's what I took it as, is it's this apocalyptic kind of tale, a short one, because it, you know, we mostly clear it up by the end of the issues for Infinite.
Yeah.
But like, it kind of, because they also take this slant of, oh, the people haven't been reminded about all the people that are outside that are having to struggle and stuff like that. And so they're still like, that was their whole spiel, is that they are able to kind of make them aware of all of the stuff that's been going on. And so the people, you know, they change their mind because now they know. And I thought, well, it kind of sounded like to me, kind of like the Hunger Games, is that
and you're most likely right. I don't want to speak for Kelly, but I'm sure that's more so where her mind was when she was crafting this, I guess. I'm sorry. I just, with everything that has gone, with everything that's gone on in the last, let's say, 6 months, and some military veteran person, some guy, creating a GoFundMe to get the wall built. Did you ever? Anyway, it's neither. Oh my God.
Need to go there.
But it's one of those things where it's like,
silliness.
This whole Absolutely. Wall thing and inside and outside. I'm like, oh God. Anyway, so.
Well, the good thing to note, the one thing that I would do want to say is this actually came out before a lot of that drama happened.
That's true.
Because this came out last year, about this time last year? What was it? Let me look.
Infinite came out...
Infinite was out January of 2018.
Okay, yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, that being said, I mean, I read it, of course, a year later, but the point is that it did come out last year, before all of the drama really started heating up.
Yeah, true.
Worse to say that, you know, the political stuff has been going on since, you know,
2016.
Took office. The minute it happened, it's just been ramping up since then. Yeah. So,
so Tech-Rat shows up, not looking like his slimy self, which is nice.
Yeah, I actually liked Tech-Rat in this.
Yeah, I did too.
But he wasn't there. Tech-Rat, technically.
yeah. It's like the Hunger Games meets the DC Universe with infinite Earths and other Earths and things like that. It's really cool. I'm digging this. I like it.
I like the direction that they went with that, because it's such a fresh take. They never did that in the show, and it is something that I feel like is something that's very relevant. It's fun to do in today's storytelling. Mm-hmm. I'm not opposed to it. It was kind of fun to just, you know, hey, Tech-Rat. Yeah, but he looks a lot Tech-Rat-ish, and he's acting not Tech-Rat-ish.
No. So
he's a radish.
he's a radish that everyone relishes. It's relishing radishes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the Misfits, specifically Pizzazz, has a little fit over all this and everything else. And basically Tech-Rat tells them that he has come to their Earth to get their aid in helping him save this Earth, because the Gem of the Holograms technology has taken over, and Gem Corps... run by none other than Eric Raymond, is, you know, the devil incarnate. You know, it's big business. It's, you know, Raymond Towers. It's, what other Trumpisms can I equate to Eric Raymond? Good times. They all, because the Misfits show up, the way this first part ends, they all end up going to the alternate Earth.
Yep.
What did you think of the first part of the story here?
I liked it. I was completely on board. I was like, okay, we got to the first like kind of break in between issues, and I was like, okay, I want to read more. Let's keep going with this. Mm-hmm. I did read Dimensions first. I'm kind of glad I did. Then I came back to then I read Infinite. I was like, I felt like with Dimensions it stopped, and then we started a whole new for every section. Yep. And this one, I wanted to know what's going on. I wanted to know what happens next. What happens next? Do you want to know more? Yes, keep turning the pages then. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I was very interested in. I really liked the art in this one too. It just, I liked how I can't remember who was the one that did on the first Who's the artist that
That
did
was,
this one?
I just said it earlier.
Yeah,
It's,
hold on. I'll give me a second. I'll get to it. It was Stacy Lee.
Stacy Lee.
Stacy
Yeah.
Lee. I liked what she had here.
Yeah. Stacy's art was awesome. Absolutely loved what she did with all the characters. So yeah,
Their
we
expressions, their micro expressions, the use of simplicity, and then like even their body, because each this is something that shoot, now I'm terrible at names. Sophie. This
Yeah.
is something that Sophie kind of set the tone for that when she started the whole, when she helped start the series, is all their body types are just unique to them,
Yeah.
and not all of the artists have carried it through really well, but I really liked what Stacy did. She just really made it work for me.
Yeah, I mean, all the body types are still there from what Sophie initially set out to be. I would say in Stacy's art for Pizzazz, her design is a little different, but it's okay. It works. It's still the comic version of Pizzazz. All of the art is just so good, so interesting.
Well,
And
and it because this is the problem I had with some of the artists in Dimension is that there's a few in there where the proportions are like they're exaggerated in more ways.
yeah.
And this there seems to be a really good cohesion of the bodies, the faces. She doesn't, yes, there's exaggeration because it's a, it's a cartoon to begin with. And so, I mean, the micro expressions and everything, the expressions and how she uses them just really works. But there's a type, a feel of cohesion with it. Like,
Yeah.
the stylize of each individual is still there, but yet it reads well. The proportions of the bodies look great. Whereas there have been one where they really went to, they pulled a little bit too much on it, and I didn't care for it as much. This, I felt like there was a little bit more unity in that, and I really do like that. They read as individuals, but also as a whole, the art just worked really well together. So,
Yeah, absolutely.
I love the way it was colored too. It's sparkly. It looks like a gem comic.
Oh yeah, the colors are amazing. They really, really are. Part two starts off, obviously, where part one left off. Like I said, they're about to jump into the portal kind of thing. Clash shows up. Been running after you guys for like half an hour. If you'd tell me where you're going, it'd be a lot easier to bring you these dumb coffees you wanted? Because everybody except Clash jumps through the portal. They all land and, get your this out of this, and is that who's touching me? Blah, 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 blah. What I love about this second part is, first of all, that big open reveal of the gem world, and, get the truly outrageous look, and it's just glitter and gold and pink and purple and just all kinds of gem in the holograms kind of.
Very graphic, like
Yeah.
graphics, like graphically, like gra like a design graphics,
Yeah.
designy graphic
Yeah.
looking. And yeah, it was very much the show, like the
Oh yeah.
eyes, the J, the stars.
Yeah.
It's pretty. It's what I expected to see if I saw a gem painted everywhere.
Absolutely. And I love the way that they did on the bottom panel, at least through Comixology, I get three basically moves through the guided view of all the character designs on the bottom of that page, where it starts with Kimber and it ends with Jetta. And just all the looks on their faces, you can clearly see. You can't see their whole body types, but we all know what the body types are. But seeing them all next to each other, you see how different they all are. Again, highlighting that not all people have the same body type. What I like about going through this is that obviously Jerrica, because she's not Jem right now. We'll get to that in a minute. Jerrica and Pizzazz are basically the center too, while the other parts of the bands are like around them kind of thing. It's really, really interesting. I love it.
And she jumped in as Jem, but she's there as Jerrica.
Yep.
Yeah, that was good. They do have an in story explanation for that too. So it's like, yeah. I expected it was good. It was a good explanation too. It wasn't like, oh, it was just no. It was expected.
And throughout this entire comic, even up till the end, basically, Pizzazz basically blames Jem and the Holograms for everything.
Yeah, pretty much.
And, you know, we're at a point in the story now in the second part where Jerrica is coming clean to the Misfits. They have to reveal the secret, you know, that she's Jem and, you know, Showtime Synergy and doesn't exactly work. And this is where the reasoning comes in. They're too far away from their Synergy.
Yeah.
Their computer kind of a thing. So...
Yeah. Well, I thought it was really cool, too, is that you see the actual what Tech Rat was talking about, because he is using the tech.
Yes, and, he is using the tech, because he helped build the tech.
Yeah, but, like, when he gets there, he's even, like, he looks different. He looks very, very different.
Yeah. Yeah, he does.
And it totally works, because he's gemified.
Yeah.
In a sense, he's gemified. It's funny. I loved that. I loved that how they did that. So it was good.
Yeah. I love how he basically says you all have to have Gemstar earrings because you're not from this world. You need to have a disguise. Obviously, it's only a hologram. If people get too close, they'll know. But just passing by, no one's going to know, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
I love what Pizzazz yells at him. You know, because again, it's her and Jem fighting with each other, yelling at each other, and Jem or Jerrica's like, "Well, why did you come here? Tech Rat and all this Jem and the Holograms are all but gods. The world remade in their image, nonsense. Where are the Misfits?" He says, "Well, if they still exist. If they still exist!"
Yeah.
Oh boy. Lots of drama.
Yes.
But that's what Jem and the Holograms is. It's family, it's friends, it's this, it's that. Even on the Misfits side. You know,
yeah.
Reading the comic for as long as it ran, you know, with Kelly, you know, giving new dimensions, pun not intended, mm-hmm. but to each of the characters on both sides of the bands, just, I mean, it's just absolutely amazing and cool and gives you a better reading experience.
Yeah, it does.
So they have to basically take the elevator up to the penthouse or whatever it is, and we look out over Tarzan's jungle.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that's the reveal of the world beyond the wall.
Yeah. So no. they have their holograms on, so they shift because of the holograms that they have on. But then they go to see what the rest of the world looks like. And yeah, I was like, okay, well, it doesn't look bad. It's not like complete waste, but it's definitely run down outside.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's like if, you know, the president does.
If nature took the world back over, so things are definitely the buildings and stuff like that are kind of being swallowed up by things. So it's run down, but it's, you know, the Earth is still the Earth. It's just technology inside the wall is much different than outside. So
yep.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about the story so far after the second issue?
Oh, I loved it. I was like eating this up. I was like, okay, we're on a roll. Where are we going with this? What's going to happen next? Because, you know, I was like, I want to keep going. Let's go for it, man. I liked the difference between the two. I liked, again, the art was great. On this one, I think it was Jen St. Ange.
Yep.
And again, expressions are working great. It was a little bit of a switch, but still, like, she's still doing a good job with the second issue. So yeah,
it's a little bit of a switch in art. It's not as drastic as, you know, individual stories putting their own spin on the characters and whatever else, which we'll talk about later. But yeah, it was really nice, very well done. I absolutely love the cover for issue 3, which is basically Synergy with all of them in her hands.
Oh, yeah.
So that's very, very cool.
She looks very Egyptian.
Yeah. Yes, she does. So everybody's out in the world, everybody's, walking around doing their thing, and of course, Pizzazz has to, I'm gonna go find this. But before that, but first, Rio and Jerrica, oh boy. Well, they share a kiss, 'cause that ain't her real Rio, that's this world's Rio. Yeah, that's interesting,
Yeah.
to say the least.
Oh, a nice little tension there. That was a
Yeah.
good. But the thing is, and this is the part that I was like, okay, I guess Rio didn't, because he doesn't really do much. It was more like a, hey,
Yeah.
you're here. Kiss, kiss.
Yeah.
Yay.
I didn't realize you were alive. Kind of a thing.
Oh, sorry. I just, yeah, I haven't told you anything. Yeah.
Yeah. What I love about this story, besides what we've seen so far and all of that, is how the alternate Earth roles are changed up, where, because we're getting to a point of going to Gem Corps, and it's Elise who is Eric's errand girl, whereas in the regular Gem world, it's the other way around. Like, Eric is the manager for the Misfits. Well, now he's in charge of Gem Corps, and Elise is like his gopher kind of, assistant person, whatever. They did a really good job with this. I think this is really cool. Eric interacting with Synergy is a little strange, but obviously it's an alternate dimension kind of a thing. What the hell has he got in that south entrance there? That hidden door on the south wall. Like, who's back there?
How very flash of him.
Yes, really. How very
No, he's
Harrison
really
Wells
good.
of him. Yeah.
Yeah, true. That's very Wells of him. Yeah. You know, it's interesting because, like, this is why at about this time I was like, okay, so he's behind what's going on with Synergy then. And I thought, oh, that's a bad thing.
Yeah, that's a very bad thing.
Way to start off with the conflict, yo. We get to see who's the mastermind behind us. Well, at least we think.
Yeah, we think.
We think.
Yeah. We go to Emmett Benton's apartment or house or whatever, because in this universe, Emmett is alive. He did not die.
And both him and Tekrat are the ones that kind of figured out the synergy or the technology.
Yep.
And they've both been
And,
trying to hack it, and
yep.
they haven't been able to.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where what I love that Kelly has done with this is basically, okay, Emmett on, in the real Gem of the Holograms Earth, or whatever you want to call it, kind of thing, for our Gem of the Holograms on our Earth, they lost their mother and father kind of thing and whatever else, and obviously they have their synergy to kind of be Jackie's spirit, whatever, but they no longer have Emmett. Well, here they still don't have Jackie as far as I can tell, but Emmett
Yeah,
is
she's
still
gone.
here. The only difference is obviously his Gem and the Holograms are gone as well, so it's just him, like you said, and Tekrat. But it was just a beautiful way of fitting Emmett Benton into the story without it being like, hey, Emmett Benton back from the dead or something
Yeah.
kind of thing.
And if I remember correctly, I think that was what Tekrat kind of used as the thing to lure them into his world. Say, well, your
Right.
dad's there.
Yeah, your
You want to go
dad's
see your
there.
dad?
Yep.
And he's dad to all of the girls because of, from what I'm taking, what we got is that he still adopted the other girls as well. So
Right.
they
Yep.
all know him. They all consider him as a father figure, not just
Not
a
just,
biological father,
yeah,
but
not just Jerrica and Kimber. Yes, that, yeah. So Jerrica has this idea of maybe her original Gemstar earrings can work somehow with finding out their plan of This story basically takes everything that we've already read, flips it on its ass, and puts it in a way that wouldn't think that you could use it. Basically, she's like, "Hey, how about we hack the stuff and figure out how to release silica or release the code part of it? Not necessarily release silica again on this universe, but
Yeah.
release that hidden kind of thing with synergy. Whatever's going on." And that's kind of the plan, is that's what they're going to be doing.
And they, of course, let them know what silica was, because in their world, silica didn't take over. There was no,
There
you
was
know,
no hip, no
yeah.
whatever, yeah.
And they've pretty much taken out most of, the code that could be that way, because there were two people, writing it. But it's still pieces of it are still there. So that was the plan, is to use what they know of silica as a backdoor to get in, to kind of, get synergy to be less controlled.
Less obedient to Eric, yeah.
Yeah.
And we had before that's kind of, I mean, that is kind of the plan before we actually get to all that, though. But I don't, Tekrat, didn't you tell them? I didn't know how to tell them. Tell us what. And this is where we get the reveal that this Earth's Gem of the Holograms, all the girls are dead. And he tells the story of how they died, and yeah, wow.
Yeah. It's a sad, sad day.
And of course, Jerrica's final line of this issue, then we'll take down Gemcore and free the world of the illusion if it's the last thing we do.
Bum, bum, bum. Commercial break. Perfect place.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the other thing, the cliffhanger. I'm so glad I did not read this single issue week to week, because it would have killed me.
Yeah.
Six weeks of torture is what this would have been, to have to wait until the next issue. Reading in trade is so much better, folks. You get the whole story all at once. You can spend 2 hours reading the thing if you want to, or however long it takes you to do so. But yeah, this, I believe this is the third issue we just finished. Absolutely
Yeah.
love it. I love where the story is going. There are moments that are just gonna not only tug on your heartstrings, but basically rip them out. Like, you have no more heartstrings, kind of a thing. What did you think of, again, the story so far, this issue on its own, as well as the rest of it so far?
Yeah, I'm like I said, I'm signed up for it. I want to keep going. I definitely, they did enough things in here that, again, like you said, they're taking all elements of things that we know in the earth that they came from, and they're mixing it up and turning it on its head, doing different things. And I like the how they've done that. I like how they've the differences in how things are. That they're not there, they're dead. They're like, oh, great, wonderful. It's just the little things that they're doing that are just taking all the elements, shaking it up in a bag, and pulling out what they want. So it's working.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the art was, again, I think this one is Jen Hickman doing great with it. I really liked everything that they have.
Issue 4 starts out with the Misfits, because they were going to run off and find out what happened to this world's Misfits. And we start off with Pizzazz. I admit it's scarier than I thought it would be. Jetta says, "Oh, so you do admit it. Wow, you admit it. Just bloody great, Pizzazz." Roxy's like, "I don't know what you guys are complaining about. It's awesome, though I room my concern about bagel quality."
Back to the
And Stormer has the best reaction. "Nobody told me we had to rappel down this dumb thing." "I
bagels.
hate all of you."
It just nice to see that the Misfits are still the Misfits. No matter what,
Absolutely.
they're just still, ah, I hate all of you.
So they rappel down the wall. They get to, I don't want to necessarily say the grassy knoll, but they get to the bottom of the wall where there's a bunch of grass and bushes and whatever else. They decide to take the earrings off, because what if the earrings don't, what if the signal doesn't get out there that far or whatever, so why don't we just take them off anyway or turn them off?
That, and again, they're trying not to stand out. When they were in, when they were in the city, they didn't want to stand out. When they're outside the city, they don't want to stand out. So they will if they have the holograms on, so they take it off.
Yep. And they see basically the gem version of Agrabah. I'm like, when's Aladdin going to show up here? Street rat. Oh, boy. yeah, so we basically have, you know, this whole Misfits storyline with them going off on their own. And they're not just going off to destroy stuff or whatever. They're going to find their counterparts. And Pizzazz starts hearing this really, really good music. And, oh my god, what in the bleeding hell is happening? It's Stimber!
Yes. I really liked this. This was fun, fantastic to run to this point, because we haven't seen any of that in any of, like, the show. That was kind of like, or so the animated show, they only had it for like, what, just a couple issues or a couple episodes or something like that. And so we haven't really, we were kind of hoping while we were reading, I wonder how they're going to do that, how they're going to bring, if they're going to bring in a moment where we have, you know, Kimber and Storm are doing a, you know, their own thing, and this is that. And I was like, oh cool, I like that. We had to go to another world to have it happen, but this works for me.
So works. Yeah, it was I think it was When the Bands Break Up. I think that was the episode title in the original cartoon.
Yeah, the bands broke up, and so the two of them went off and did their own thing.
Yeah. So obviously
there's a clearly, few changes though.
Yeah, there's a few changes. What happened to your arm?
Yeah. So, you know, Stormer from this earth has a robotic arm.
Yes.
I loved it. I was like, awesome. She's so totally metal.
Yep. She's one part Cybertronian. Hey, this is the 14th colony nobody knew about. And, you know, even Pizzazz says, my god, they're not just rock stars, they're like revolutionaries. I love it. Like, again, showing the depth of Pizzazz's character. Yes, she can be that bratty, oh, Jem has everything, why don't we have anything kind of a thing. However, through Kelly's writing and through the longevity of the time of the series for the comic, Pizzazz's character has shown way more dimension than we've ever seen. And just this time, you know, again, the Misfits are family too. They're not like, Pizzazz isn't out, you know, to get any of the Misfits kind of a thing. so, just absolutely.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, she's I don't see the, you know, good and bad, like, you know, the good band and the Misfit band, basically. Yeah. They're always causing trouble. It's like, actually no, they're doing some really good things that I'm very sympathetic to both sides. I like both the bands for different reasons, cuz they have the way they do things, and each one of them is unique, and that definitely carries over even in this alternate world.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. It's cool.
You know. And we get to a point of Pizzazz is like, of course, I can do whatever I want. I can, you know, I cannot wait to get back home and tell the world about all of this hologram nonsense. And Stormer's like, that's the one thing you can't do, because if you do it, well, then our world is going to become like this world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when they explain how it is that this world went wrong.
Yeah. Pizzazz always has some cool fashion sense, but I'm sorry, skullhead pajamas, really? That's cool, but wow. That's bringing out that personality there. It's so funny. Yeah, they explain the world and, you know, the president and the wall. Like, again, the president, the wall, the this, the that. I'm sorry. I just... talk about needing to let it go. Ugh. So they reveal of how the Misfits, we were against the tech and we weren't quiet about it, and the Misfits were considered a liability and they were dealt with.
Yep.
And
the only reason why Stormer from this Earth survived is because she was with
Kimber
when it happened.
Yep.
And
they obviously went out on their own and became Stimber, and yeah. But that is the truth. Like, which the sad thing is, spoilers, folks. If you haven't read this already, it's been out over a year. The sad thing is, Stormer and Pizzazz are the only two Misfits that actually died. Were Roxy and Jetta.
Yeah.
I'd probably Blaze, but, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like the reveal later of who's in Eric's little room there. It's like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
That
was interesting.
Yeah, so they get this message, like one of the earrings starts glowing and it's a message from Jem, and they have to get to higher ground to see the message for better signal, like all cell phones in the 21st century. You know, and Pizzazz, we need you to come back, all of you. Tekrat has made arrangements to get you through at the south wall entrance, so go there as soon as possible. We have a plan to put things right here, but it's going to take all of us together to make it work. Sure it will. Whatever you say, Jem. Ends on that.
Yeah.
Man, this story. It's so good. I knew it was going to be good.
You think you know, and then you keep reading, and you're like, oh, okay. Oh, okay. They're not dead. Some of them are alive.
Yeah. It,
they have a twist every single issue, it seems like to me.
Yeah, they do. And it seems like I know the reality TV show thing that they did at the end of the main ongoing thing that they had met, you know, when they did the Misfits 5-part miniseries that we covered kind of thing with the whole TV show, like that obviously reference to any reality television show kind of thing. But reading through these 6 issues, at least the first 4, I'm like, hey, this is kind of like Big Brother. Expect the unexpected kind of a thing, because you just don't know what they're going to throw at you.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on story so far before we get into the next one?
No. Like I said, I like the fact that each issue has a little twist to it. Really worked for me. And again, the art is, we went back to, I think, Jen St. Ange on this issue, and it looks great. I mean, it's just it more of what I expected, that we already have kind of set the tone earlier in this trade. So it's very consistent. They kept to the three. It looks like there's 3 different artists, but all of them seem to work really well together. Slight differences, but they mesh really well.
Yep, absolutely. So the Misfits arrive at Emmett's apartment, and we picked up some strays we thought you might be interested in. Thought dead on this world, but nope.
Yep.
So at least we have a father-daughter reunion between Kimber, Stormer, and Emmett.
Yay! So
that's nice.
And it's believable. I mean, that's when I got a little choked up too, going, oh gosh, because he said they were dead. And, you know, I'm sure that it was great to see people that weren't his, they're not his girls, because they are his girls, but they're from a different Earth. And so, but to know that you thought them dead and to find that they're not, they've been stuck on the outside, hiding, staying alive. You know, it was really good. I liked how they did it. I liked how they brought this reunion together. I was like, aww. So it was all good. Mm-hmm. Way to go, Kelly. You got me crying a Gem comic.
Yep. And so after the family reunion, whatever else, the whole Pizzazz versus Jericho thing kicks up again.
And yep.
Obviously, you know, Pizzazz isn't wrong. I mean, she's not totally wrong. She's wrong in the way she's approaching it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I love what Jetta says for the supposed quote unquote good guys. You guys are pretty bloody bad. So they explain the plan about the pop-up concert and how they're basically going to take it over. And then we kind of get to Eric and Elise and how Elise is basically just completely ready to just not be around anymore as far as working with Eric. And Eric, after she leaves, basically says to Synergy, we're probably going to have to take care of her at some yeah. point. And it's like, damn.
Yeah. That was just like, oh, cold hard slag there, dude. I mean, yeah. She knows too much. So if she's not going to be in it to win it, then yeah, it makes sense that he'd be like, okay, well, at some point we're going to have to take care of her. And it's very implied. We're going to have to kill her.
Yeah. I mean, the Eric Raymond of this world, as much as our Eric, both cartoon and comic, is a sleazeball, this Eric is downright...
Mastermind.
Yeah, mass murderer at this point. He's killed Gem and the Holograms.
He's killed everybody.
Almost all of the Misfits. And then the big reveal. My question is, where's the bathroom? If she's been in that room the whole time, where does she go to the bathroom? And the little cup on the table there?
It's another hologram wall.
Uh-huh.
Take it down. I gotta go to the bathroom.
Uh-huh. Probably. And we get revealed to Pizzazz of this earth.
That brings up a lot of questions. Because if she didn't die in that explosion, did she plot the death of her own teammates?
Of Roxy and Jetta, yeah. And,
yeah.
And,
because, yeah. You know, if Eric has been behind all of this for this long, mm-hmm. then was she behind it as well? Or did she come in and say, no, Eric, you're going to do what I say? Because if not, you know, you're not going to kill me this time. You tried, but now I'm pulling the strings. I don't know. That's the good thing, is that they left enough unanswered in this that I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, Kelly, whenever you decide to come back, if you come back and tell us how this goes, I really want to see more of that.
Yeah.
Dimension, you know, Infinite Part 2.
Exactly, Who knows?
Come from another point where they take over. Who knows? The possibilities are endless. This is such a great little run to go a different way. So.
And it's so... Like, normally when you have alternate timelines or alternate Earths or whatever, you have the doppelgangers of each other kind of a thing, but there's usually one, like, obviously the two Stormers. This Earth's Stormer, you know, has, like you said, a metal or robotic arm. Between the two Pizzazzes, this Pizzazz kind of... At this point, where our Pizzazz is in the comic, this one kind of reminds me of, like, cartoon Pizzazz, as far as how she looks and things like that, and the look on her face, and, well, it's about damn time, Eric.
Yeah.
You know, all of that, so.
I don't know, I mean, like I said, there's a lot of questions to be asked at this point. If she did plot the death of her own teammates... I'm just going to say that's nothing. I don't think that the cartoon Pizzazz would have gone to that extent. She definitely would destroy them, like, you know, if they turned against her. But I don't think that she'd go to the point of killing them. And this is just a different dimension. Different dimension version of Pizzazz.
Yep.
Just taking a different quality of hers and just up notching it up a couple...
Oh, yeah.
Volume up a little bit so that we, like, this is a version of her. Yep. In another version of me, you know?
You would basically turn... No, you turn into a helicopter you turn into a helicopter and have, you know, whirling adventures and things like that. And yeah, exactly. So we get back to Jem, the holograms, the misfits, Tekrat, and Emmett, and they're finally getting ready to do this whole computer trick thing with Synergy. And this Kimber-looking version of Silica shows up. You know, we are sisters, we are this, we are that, and they agree, and they, I guess, body meld, mind meld, I don't know, they do some sort of weird computer thing, and then she has obviously a very different look, we remember, kind of a thing.
Yeah, so how they've been able to control her is that they've blocked her ability to remember certain things, and so she's been very passive. The Silica version, I liked it because the design was so cool. And I was like, oh, wow, she doesn't look, I mean, she has some similarities, but a lot of differences too. And, you know, it basically free will has been taken away from Synergy. And so them joining back together gives her the free will that she's been denied. And It's interesting to see that. I liked that, how that played out.
Yep.
So part of the plan was to have some sort of spontaneous concert that they're kind of hacking. The rest of the groups are hacking to kind of, they're not holograms. They've hacked the hologram to be them so that, you know, they can have a concert and you're like, hey, are they supposed to be there? No, they really are there. So they're not the holograms that everybody's been deceived into thinking that they were there. They're the real people on stage. So it's like, awesome.
Yep. And Elise and Eric are like, are you seeing this?
And of course, Synergy is nowhere to be found.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then, you know, they go ahead and reveal it, you know. You know, she says to this Earth Stormer, robotic arm Stormer, I'm going to show them. Are you sure? I think it's the only way to make them really see. And shows over Synergy, Jerrica, the reveal, you know, oh God kind of thing. And, you know, she goes on this, you know, revolutionary sound and whatever about, you know, free yourself, free your mind. You know, kind of a thing, be our best selves, and that's how this one kind of ends, is on Jem's message of, you know, don't let Jem Corps control you, kind of a thing.
Yeah. And then she changes again in front of them. Hee
hee. Yep.
She goes from being just Jerrica to back to Jem again, shows them who she is.
Yep. And as we get into the next issue, like you said, you know, she changes back to Jem, and Kimber has an idea, so she wants Stormer to go with her. And they're like, hey, let's, you know, reveal all of ourselves to these people, and, you know, let's give them the message of, why are you trusting Jem Corps? Why are you using their technology? And part of the other part of the thing is, Eric has made the gem tech, the earring tech, so expensive that his plan is that those that can't afford it go outside the city. Basically, you're on the other side of the wall. You're on the outs if you can't afford this.
Yeah, if you can't afford the next update, then they're literally pricing people out of the city, basically.
Pretty much.
They didn't let them know that was going to actually happen. They were kind of having this concert to kind of hide the fact that they're about ready to upgrade another 15% of the population out. And I was like, holy crap, what a scummy thing to do.
Yeah.
That's Eric for you.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's Eric for you. But the one thing I'll say is we're kind of winding this down here. I mean, we'll go through the rest of the story beats here as well, but it seems like, did you feel like it just kind of dropped the Eric story. Like, they just left. Like, the board members are gone. This is gone. Eric and Pizzazz are gone. Like, I didn't feel like we got too much. Like, oh, ho, mustache twirling, we'll be back again kind of feeling at all either.
No, it kind of just it wrapped it up in more of a people just know they've been told, but I don't know if that actually makes any huge change because like they just take off. We don't really see. I mean, that was the only thing I was kind of a little disappointed in with this is the fact that we didn't really see any major consequence other than the fact that people just said, "Oh yeah, okay, we believe you," and they take off the tech and they start being them their true selves. And you know, like this, you know, they said, then they start actually realizing, "Oh, I can't really afford this, but I'm doing it anyhow because you know, A, B, and C. Oh, I haven't seen you for so long. I thought you're cuter than I remember." You know, it was like, okay, that works. And I don't know if it was just, I don't know, it's kind of, I wasn't feeling a lot of pop to it other than the fact that they stop them, they get away, but we didn't really see why, like, we didn't come, like, hordes of people are coming and banging on the doors. No, it wasn't like that at all. It was just kind of like, oh, now they're just running away. And I was like, okay. And now Synergy shows up again.
Synergy shows up again. And it doesn't like I love the story. I absolutely love the story. I love what Kelly did with it. I just feel like the whole Eric of the alternate Earth running away kind of thing, Eric and the Pizzazz, like there's no real answers there. Like you said earlier,
There's
did
no
Pizzazz,
resolution. Yeah.
yeah, there's
You don't
no re
know how
yeah.
deep the rabbit hole go how deep the rabbit hole goes. And they don't know. All of the characters don't realize that there's somebody even behind Eric. So that's why I was like, well, maybe that's a card she just didn't want to play yet because she has plans for something else, which I'm definitely on board with. I mean, if this is,
Me
we
too.
got, you know, I'd like to see her finish that. I'd like to see her come back and do another episode so that, or another whatever, six issues and see how that pays off because, I mean, I'd like to see Kelly use, you know, tell us more because you kind of left it a little bit here. We didn't get the resolution and the twist moment where all of the characters realize, oh my gosh, it's Pizzazz behind all of that. I mean, because how would this Pizzazz react if she found out the version of her Pizzazz on this Earth has been the mastermind behind all of it? Would that change her mind about coming back to the other Earth and revealing the hologram tech? Because they've done a really good job of convincing her in this other world not to do that. So I believe that she believes. But would that change if she saw the other Pizzazz? Because, you know, she's got it made. She's betrayed everybody. But, you know, she is the top of the world here. Would you be that? You know, would you do that just so that you could be in charge? So it'll be interesting. They didn't leave us any answers with that, and that's why I'm like, Kelly, okay, I'm ready for the next episode here. And maybe that was the whole plan to begin with, is to have a, well, kind of a soft answer to wrap up this story, but kind of leave some of these threads hanging that were just as important. We also get to see that what's her bucket? What's her name? Not Eric, but the guy, the lady. Oh, what is her?
Elise.
Elise. That's right. Sorry, my bad. So Elise comes in and sees that Eric has escaped because now everybody's kind of turning off the tech, and he's left, and Energy is there.
You
And
look different.
she does.
I was surprised that Kelly didn't have her say, "I feel different."
That would be cool if they said that, but yeah. So he's left Gem World. I just now picked up on he doesn't just left. He's even left Gem World. So does
Yeah,
that mean that
he's
he's left to go out into the other world, or has he gone to another Earth? Does
Yeah,
he have
really.
that ability? I mean, you never know. You never know.
You never know.
Yeah.
I guess all's well that ends well, with a little bit of, you know, Eric and pizzazz of this Earth, this alternate Earth, you know, hanging out there somewhere. But, you know, our gem and the holograms and the misfits all go back to the main gem Earth, and happy ending?
Mostly happy ending. Yeah. I don't know. They go back to their Earth, so we really don't see what the fallout is going to be, other than they go to the wall. Elise has authorized. Oh, and that's the other thing that they find out, is that Elise knew that they were trying to hack into the back door, and she allowed them to do it.
Right, yeah.
And then she also authorized the wall door to open so that people on the inside can actually find their family that's on the outside, that have been separated because of, you know, the technological separation. And so you see all the people hugging and happy because they get to find the people that they haven't seen in a long time. So it's all good. I liked it. And Tech Rat and Dad.
Mr. Benton.
Mr. Benton. They're back there. They go back to helping out with Elise, and they're back in charge again. Yay!
Yay! Infinite was very well done. Love the writing from Kelly. I love all of the artists that were on this. Both Jens, Hickman and St. Ange, and Stacy Lee, her art was really cool. Just absolutely really enjoyed this. I thought this was super fun. Nice little alternate Earth kind of story for Gem and the Holograms, and something to just have fun with, honestly.
Yeah, it was a fun run. I really liked it.
Yep, absolutely. What would you give the trade overall, the whole story, 0 to 5?
I really liked it. It was pretty solid all the way up until, like I said, the last issue, where I don't feel like I got as much payoff that with that ending, because a few things got. I mean, I'm assuming that Kelly's going to come back, and that there's going to be more to this, that she has more to tell. Maybe it's just not the right time for her to, you know, do an ongoing. Maybe it's going to be another issue or whatever that she has. Yeah. You know, planned. I that's what I would do. I'd be like, hey, I'll come back and play some more in this world, in this sandbox when it's convenient. So for me, I feel like everything was really solid into like the last issue, so I'm gonna give it a 4.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'll give it a 4 as well. Like you said, everything up until the last issue, and the last issue is great as well. It's just that
we didn't catch all the bad guys.
We didn't catch all the bad guys, and they're just gone. We don't even see, like, a side scene of them escaping, or, like, you know, we don't see them step into another portal to leave or anything. They're just gone.
Yeah.
And it's like, where'd they go? How'd they get out? They're not even on the world anywhere anymore? That's a kind of big problem right there.
It's kind of implied that they just went away from Gem World, but I'm like, well, if it's the only real city that's left now, somebody's gonna see them and go, hey, aren't you supposed to be? You know, you'd think that those left in charge would be like, hey, we're on our lookout, we're looking out for these people now. So we'll see. A lot of the art, they did more art in here. Like, you had the story, and then they did, like, the covers and all of the art that's extra in the trade. I love a lot of it. It's so good.
Covers are amazing, yeah.
I don't know if they're all covers, but I'm guessing that they probably are. But, like, some of these are just fantastic.
Yeah, at the end of the book, yeah, that's a cover gallery. That's all covers from the series.
Marguerite Sauvage. Good job. I mean, just Genevieve did. It's just like, some of these are just really fantastic. So, I mean, even for just the art alone.
Absolutely.
It's been amazing.
Yeah, it's so amazing. Go read this story, folks. We're going to take a quick break, come back with Gem and the Holograms Dimensions after this.
Gem will be right back after these messages.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the GeekCast Radio Network.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
Do you like retro cartoons? Then Saturday Morning Rewind is the podcast for you. Join them each month as they talk about classic cartoons and interview legendary voice actors like Jim Cummings.
I am the terror that flaps in the night.
Corey Burton.
Sometimes toys can be so funny.
Rob Paulsen.
Sure, Brian, but how are we going to find chaps our size?
Nancy Cartwright and many more.
Eat my shorts.
So grab a bowl of Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Put on your hammer pants. Go to SaturdayMorningRewind.com. And be prepared to feel like a kid again. Once again, that's SaturdayMorningRewind.com. Saturday Morning Rewind was voted best podcast ever by its host, Tim Nidell. So it's gotta be good.
Kid?
Yes?
Shut up.
Beyond the Night is the GCRN's latest review podcast. We are covering everything in the Knight Rider television universe. From the classic 80s TV series to the 1991 reunion film, Team Knight Rider, and the 2008 relaunch series as well. So join TFG and Mike and Dion the Music Man as they go in-depth and Beyond the Night only on GeekCast Radio Network. You can find Beyond the Night in iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com.
Kid?
Yes, Michael?
Just keep driving.
When a star's gonna climb, watch it try for the prize. We're already on the rise. Whoa, well, this is only the beginning, only the beginning, only the beginning, only the beginning, only the beginning.
Hey, this is Samantha Newark, and you're listening to the truly outrageous podcasters of the GeekCast Radio Network.
And now, back to Gem.
All right, we are back, and it is time to talk about Gem and the Holograms Dimensions. This is six one-shot stories written by various other writers and art drawn by other artists and whatever. The back of the book basically says, Gem and the Holograms get back to their rock and roll roots in these standalone stories from some of comics' most popular creators, including Sophie Campbell, Kate Leith, Tanya Ford, Sarah Kuhn, Siobhan Keenan, Sarah Winifred Searle, Nicole Guaux, Rebecca Nalty, and others. It says, celebration of creativity, friendship, and being true to yourself. Dimensions is full of humor, fun, and characters that radiate positivity. These uplifting stories will bring a smile to readers' faces, even as they put a song in their hearts. All your favorite characters, and some new ones, take the stage in stories about everything from Dungeons & Dragons to ski trips gone wrong. I remember when this was first announced after Infinite was already a thing and everything else, and I'm like, okay, Gem one-shots, that could kinda be cool. Just like Infinite, I know you said you had read it, you had read Infinite, like, last year when it finally got traded or whatever else. I had not read either one of these until right before we recorded the podcast, because That's how I roll these days.
I read it and then I came back and read it again before, you know, but I didn't, I don't, Dimensions was a new one. One I did not read. I read Infinite, but I did not read Dimensions until like 2 days ago.
Yeah.
So I'm like, eh. Yeah.
I like it. It's interesting. So we have, like I said, eight stories?
Yes, eight stories, eight short ones. Oof. So I'm thinking like two stories per issue.
Yeah, something like that.
So it's four issues long, but you get two stories per issue.
Right, that's what it is. Yeah, I remember it was only four. It was only four issues originally.
Four comics originally, and then it's traded with all of them together. And I read it in trade.
Yeah, so did I. I don't know. So the eight stories. The first one, and I'm just reading off the titles here. First one is Catnap, written by Sophie Campbell. Written and art by Sophie Campbell. Colorist is M. Victoria Robideau. Roll With It is written by Kate Leith. Artist is Tanya Ford. Colorist is Brittany Peer. Face Off is written by Sarah Kuhn with art by Siobhan Keenan. Then we have Stargirl. Writer-artist is Sarah Winifred. Cyril. Shooting Star is written by Nicole Geokes, Nicole.
Geokes.
Colorist is Rebecca Nalty on that. Haunted is written by Sam Maggs. Artist is Rachel Stott. Colorist is Marissa Louise. Tasty is written by Cena Grace. Artist is Hannah Templar. And Jamojis, like, you know, we're gonna, the next emoji movie is going to be Jamojis versus Misfit OGs. Writer on that is Kevin Panetta. Artist is Abby Both.
Yeah, I think it's Both.
And colorist is Heather Danforth on that.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. We've been here a long time, folks. I don't think we're going to go in depth as much as we did on Infinite with these.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Just because they're meant to be self-contained.
Yeah, they are. And that's good. Catnap is basically a ski trip with not Clash.
Clash.
No, it is Clash.
Yeah, it's Clash.
Clash and her friend Misty and she has to babysit Pizzazz's cat while they take the cat skiing. Video and other quote-unquote evil hologram fans. I will say that Video and Graphics and who is the third one?
Shade. Yep.
I believe Graphics and Shade are new characters to the Gem Universe.
I think they are. And so is Misty, I believe.
Yes, Misty is as well. But I love the way that they've put, you know, Video and Clash and they're not together kind of thing, even though they're cousins. I love that we essentially have evil Gem fans kind of thing. I think that's super cool. I think it's super fun.
I
did
like that switch. I liked that because I thought, oh yeah, well, you know, you gotta have a few that are just a little shady. Mm-hmm. And there you go. And I liked the fact that in this, because Clash tends to be more of the shady character in the series. And so to have those that are shadier than her in this, mm-hmm. you know, I liked that switch. I like how they twisted that. Or how Sophie twisted that, because, you know.
Yeah, this is Sophie Campbell, folks. This is
she set the stage for the whole comics. So the fact that this actually happened, I was just like, I love Sophie.
Yeah. Sophie is amazing. Absolutely. It's a nice little quick story. It doesn't, you know, go too far. It doesn't do anything.
I love the cat that's wearing a little outfit.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, Matt Mardigan is great. That's like the cat, you know. This is like the perfect thing. I wish more of the stories were like this one, because this one just made me laugh so much. It was so cute and so amazing and so lovely that I just like, oh, Sophie, I need you to write more of these. We need her to do more of these things like this.
Oh, yeah. If Sophie Campbell had her own, like, Gem and the Holograms miniseries outside of what Kelly was doing that are just kind of like one-shot adventures, that would be glitter and gold. Yeah, absolutely love the catnap story. So cool. Up next is Roll With It. This one is... I know it's the Dungeons and Dragons story, and honestly, personally, I was never into Dungeons and Dragons. It just was slightly outside of...
This is where we need Nicole.
Yeah, well...
This is Nicole's territory, because I've never played the game either. So
I've played, I'm not as obsessed... Like, you know how a lot of people will reference, like, Clerks or Mallrats or whatever early Kevin Smith works kind of from the 90s and things like that? I do that all the time myself. You know, we make Transformers references, Gem references, G.I. Joe references all the time. Dungeons & Dragons was a little bit before my time, and I never really... I played, like, once or twice, but I never really got into it.
Gotcha.
And again, these are very, very short, because, you know, like we said, two stories per each issue and four issues. Very, very short stories. The one thing that kind of bugged me a little here, and I think is a little out of character for her, how angry Jem gets, or how angry Jerrica gets, I should say.
Yeah, it did seem a little bit, she does get overwhelmed, but she doesn't get, like, angry overwhelmed.
Yeah, she's not, Jerrica is very much, that's why she has Jem. She's very much an introvert. She's very much, like, not gonna, you know, rock the boat kind of thing. And as I was reading this, I'm like, did we go to some sort of third Earth or something, like, from Dimensions? Because that's not the Jerrica Benton I know.
Yeah.
And again, character, you know, whatever thing, you know, character portrayal is, you know, obviously up to each writer, but this, yeah, I was not a fan of that.
I mean, some of her behavior seemed more like pizzazz behavior.
Very much so.
So I was kind of like, I don't know if that worked for me. So I was kind of a half and half on this. I liked the idea, but I think it just didn't work for like I said, like you've mentioned, Jerrica just doesn't seem like Jerrica. And the art on this one was a little, half of it I liked, the other half there's just a lot of weirdness in some of the panels that I just kind of went, they're, some of the faces end up looking different. They just kind of didn't work for me. So I thought, well, it's a half and half. I like the idea. It just was weird. It was odd. There was oddness in it. The change in Jerrica was enough to kind of pull me out. And then the change in some of the art, as detailed as it is, it works in some, but in other parts it doesn't. So I just kind of like, okay, maybe that one just wasn't me. It was a fun little run, but I didn't really feel the love as much on that one.
Yeah, no, not so much. So we get Face Off as the third story here. This is basically karaoke night.
Yeah, that made me laugh.
Yeah, that was kind of funny.
It's like they're karaoke. Okay, they're going to go win their own karaoke. This is okay, let's go for it, man.
Yeah, and...
Poor Blaze having to deal with this. It's like, you invited everybody over to your place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes. But I like the twist.
Yeah, the twist was really cool. It's really interesting. I love the songs, but with Jem and Pizzazz doing this, you know, rap battle duel off here, and like, that's not karaoke. That's a rap battle. You know, that's a lip sync battle kind of thing. Obviously, they're not lip syncing, but you know, it's just Yeah, no, Clash won this. Clash won the karaoke night.
I loved that. I loved that. Yeah. That was just, it was a good twist. The other thing is that this issue made the characters, they pulled them off feeling much, much younger. Like,
yep.
The art was great, and maybe the art aided in that, but the whole issue just seemed like it made the characters much more younger than we have been seeing them in the rest of the comics. And that was the only thing that only criticism that I had to knock at it was the fact that it just made them seem less adults and more like a bunch of teens.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. The next story up is all about Shayna and more of her design stuff and how she feels pressured under deadlines and how am I going to get this to work and how am I going to get that to work. And it's a nice little Shayna story focusing on her fashion, which we've only really seen once in the overall series, you know, that Kelly was writing, where she actually went off to, where was it? It was Milan,
Italy,
to study under, you know, this person kind of thing. So that's, I like this story. I think it's super cool. I like, again, the little twist at the end where Gem and the Holograms wear her unfinished designs kind of thing. I thought that was fun.
Yeah.
What'd you think of this one?
I liked it for the same reason too. It was nice to see like a focus on Shayna.
Yeah.
And I really like what they did with it. Like the thing is that all of the other art in this is so much more complex than hers. And mm-hmm. the art in this one I liked because it was so simplistic, and maybe that's the reason why it stood out. But she did such a good job with it. Like, you know, illustrating exactly what she was trying to do in it, and it worked for me because it just made it, you know, it just goes to show that sometimes something so simplistic can be even a stronger, more powerful story than the ones where you get lots of detail. And that's kind of the take that I took from it. I really liked this one because of that. And I liked the positive message, like, you know, you know, you get to the end and the other person that was modeling her final completed dress was like the support that she kind of needed. And I was just like, it was a really good, it's a really good female led story.
Yeah. Very cool. Next up we have Shooting Stars, and guess who's back? It's all of the Starlight Girls. So a story with the Starlight Girls. I think this is super fun.
This was super fun. I really liked it too.
Yeah, very interesting. Super fun. Ashley and Bonnie and Chrissy and everybody kind of gets to shine in this. I thought that was really cool. And I don't know, because I did not collect these four issues singly. I have the trade.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they did this in the trade, but after each of the stories, they have the star, the gem star at the end with the magenta pink background and the white star.
Yeah.
All I can think of is those old gem PSAs. You can be a superstar too.
Yes.
You know, it's the first thing I think of when I see these.
It was a nice little divide between issues.
Yep.
So those are good. Yep.
Is this the last one?
No, it's not. There's, I think, one more second. After this.
No.
Three
more after this. Yeah. Okay. Next up is Gem and the Holograms and the Misfits in Haunted, and they are on a ghost show, Spirit Stalkers. So they're really tapping into all kinds of pop culture things. You know, you got D&D, you got, you know, the ghost hunting show kind of thing. This one was cool, but it wasn't my favorite.
Yeah, this was my least favorite one, just because I'm not even sure, like, after I read it, how that was supposed to have ended. And I was not a fan of the art either. It just kind of fell flat for me on a lot of things. Again, like I said, I liked the simplicity of Stargirl, and then this one is so much more detailed, and it just didn't work for me.
Yeah.
I just, and this is another one where I felt like some of the faces just, and some of the expressions were things got really, really crazy, and it just didn't feel like them. It didn't feel like any of the characters at all.
Yeah, no. The final two stories are Tasty and Jimojis. Tasty is all about good press versus bad press, I guess. It's all about the Misfits kind of
finding their... It felt like it was like a comic version of an episode from the cartoon. And I really liked it because of that. I mean, at first I wasn't sure what to think because, like, the little icon that they have for it, I thought, oh, okay, we'll see how this goes. But then I got into it, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is such a cute little take. And, you know, basically they're looking for some sort of PR thing, and Pizzazz goes and gets, she's going to be, they're going to have a photography session. And it turned out that while she was being schmoozed by everybody there, she didn't realize that they didn't invite any of the other Misfit members to be there. A very Pizzazz thing. It's just a very Pizzazz thing.
Yeah, very much so.
But, like, it was just really cute how it pulled off. Like, the art was really fantastic. They also did, like, the angel, the devil on her shoulder thing. It mm-hmm. worked for me. It was so fun.
It was very fun.
I thought, you know what? This is what I expected to see out of this book is stuff like Catnap and Tasty and Shooting Stars and Stargirl. And then a few of them just fell a little flat. So I was like, okay.
Yeah. Finally, we have Jimojis as the final story.
This one was the weirdest one, but I kind of liked it too.
It was the weirdest one, but it was so fun. Basically, they're fighting over who has the more popular emoji program, and
very, very much taking a very today idea that would have never been shown in the show, and then putting a show feel to it because, like, you know, that this is very much the wonky Pizzazz and her brainless ideas trying to take something over and then it falling completely flat and her having a rage moment.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what it is.
It was great. They have the cute stuff. The art was really fun. But, you know, again, yeah. I loved how they did with the Pizzazz. Just have a rage, just come rage fit over it when it doesn't work out. Oh, those fun times.
Yeah, it was super fun. Absolutely dug it.
But there's no long-lasting consequences with these. These are just like little...
No, yeah, and that's the cool thing. Yeah, so that's the cool thing. Go ahead.
I was going to say, so, like, if you're new to, like, Gem and you don't want to get into something that's really... If you're, like, giving away, like, a comic for somebody that's like, hey, what's Gem all about? It doesn't reveal anything that's in the any of the other comics, but if you wanted just to try it out... it's definitely one that I'd say is a good tryout for one. If you know anything, if all you remember about Gem and the Holograms is just the TV show that you mostly watched, you should be able to get in this. If this isn't the end all be all of all the Gem comics that have been out, because there's some really good stories out there. This is just,
yeah, there are,
they reveal nothing. You get a sense of what maybe you might like in the rest of it, but you know, it was like, if I was going to give, like, hey, try out Gem comics, this would be the one I'd be like, this is an easy, fun one to give to people without having to be like, oh, I'm going to reveal all this, you know, great storyline plots and stuff like that. No, this is good. So,
yeah, absolutely. I feel the same way about it. Overall, I'd probably give Dimensions a 3 or 3.5 out of 5. Yeah. Mainly because, like we said, some of the stories, a couple of them, didn't really stick the landing, but they're not bad. I mean, it's not a bad comic series. It's not a bad idea to do Gem short stories, essentially. I mean, it's very cool. Like you already said, it's, you know, a good kind of introduction for people that may want to check out IDW's Gem comics without having to deep dive into the main series. It's a nice little tasty morsel of Gem.
Yeah.
That sounds super creepy, as I've said it.
That being said, it's not hard to get all of the comics either. I mean, there's like what, there's trades in total?
Five trades, yeah.
So yep. Like
five trades plus the Misfits plus Infinite, I think. So yeah.
Yeah, so that's, you know, there's five trades. To get the complete, it would be like eight. There you go, eight.
Yeah, something like that. So, yeah, absolutely.
They had a run of 26 issues. And then they also had the Misfits
Infinite crossover and the Misfits series, yeah.
Less than
50
issues to read through. I mean, that's actually a pretty fast run if you really wanted to sit down and like buy all of them. And they've had them on sale a couple times too, so it's really easy to just dive in and grab all of these and just, you know,
take a few days
and read them. Fun times.
Yep. Absolutely. Before we get out of here, I do want to bring up the Gem of the Holograms IDW 2020 issue that came out. Again, this is IDW celebrating 20 years of being a publishing company and things like that. And like we already said at the beginning, it's Gem, Star Trek, Ghostbusters, Turtles, and My Little Pony are the five issues that make up the IDW 2020 series. IDW 2020 kicks off IDW's year-long 20th anniversary celebration, an all-new weekly event giving a glimpse of your favorite characters 20 years into the future or past. What made them into the heroes you love, and what twists does the future hold? Gem and the Holograms are back with new music, old flames, and good friends in this adventure set 20 years in the future. Join Jerrica, Synergy, and the rest of your favorite holographic gals for a rockin' reunion that's sure to please old and new fans alike.
Woohoo!
So again, this is something that if you want if you want a taste of IDW Gem, this would be, I haven't even read this yet.
I haven't either.
But this would be something that I would point people to, even though I haven't read it yet. But again, it's a one-shot, it's a story set 20 years in the future. It's not like you have to read all of what we've already said you should read.
Yeah.
So, very cool, very cool. Oh, boy. yeah, I'm tired. Coming up on the pull bag, we have Mighty Morphin March. We're going to be heading over to Boom Studios and their Mighty Morphin Power Rangers ongoing series. We're going to start with the first five volumes. Episodes 341 to 345 will be volumes 1 through 5 of the Mighty Morphin Power Ranger series, written by Kyle Higgins. So that's what's coming up here inside the pull bag. Anything you got going on that you want to pimp out?
No, not really. I'm just trying to keep it simple.
That's right. I think that's what we're all trying to do these days.
Yeah. My kids have been extra fun. My 4-year-old is getting more and more defiant on things, so I'm like, great, it's a change. So,
well, that's what happens when father doesn't catch him and throws him into a baby gate.
You're still going on about that, are you?
Hey,
it was there's just video evidence. Was
there's video evidence.
Gotcha. So yes, my record keeps me busy. So I'm looking forward to the Transformers 2.0 start back up.
Yep.
In another three or four weeks, something like that. Soon, actually.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Today's March 2nd, right?
When this would have been released, it wouldn't be March yet. But yeah, essentially, yes, it's coming
beginning
very
of March,
soon.
So it could be out any time. I haven't checked to see what day exactly, but I'm definitely looking forward to it. See how it goes. That's the only thing I can pimp out right now. I like all the art that I'm seeing. Let's go for it, man. Give me something to read and review.
Oh, don't tell me that, because you'll be sitting here weekly, and I know you don't like that. Anyway, it's very time-consuming, folks. You can find me on Twitter at TFGandMike. You can find Amy on Twitter at
Lady of Wreck. That's usually where I
Absolutely.
Hang.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And make your greatest game to comics, and we will catch you next time here inside the pull bag for Mighty Morphin March.
Hasta la vista, baby.
What does Arnold have to do with Power Rangers?
He doesn't.
Oh, boy.
It was just a thing to say at the very end of the podcast. What can I say?
you could have used shows over synergy.
Oh. Do you want me to say it right now? You can splice it in.
You might as well.
Okay. Shows over synergy.
Shows over synergy.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullback, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/thepullback. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter, @thepullback and @geekcastradio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.
It's been a long time, but back to action!